Estava morto.
Welcome to the HFS Podcast. I'm Mark Reed Edwards of HFS. Joining me today is Charles Sutherland, Executive VP Research at HFS. Charles has been doing some great research on automation and robotics. Charles, welcome.
Thanks, Mark.
So, Charles, in October, you wrote a key paper on robotic automation called Framing a Constitution for Robotistan. And then last December, you presented at Blueprint 3.0 in New York. The presentation with Pradeep Kimani was titled Outsourcing, an Interim Step Towards Automation. And now, as a follow-up, you have a webinar, The Ultimate Robotic Automation Debate, coming up on April 7th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Our listeners can head over to hfsresearch.com to sign up. So, Charles, back in December at Blueprint 3.0, you and Pradeep discussed five reasons why automation may replace business process outsourcing as we know it today. Can you walk the listeners, many of whom weren't lucky enough to be in the crowd in New York City, through the reasons and maybe what's changed even in the past few months?
Sure. Thanks, Mark. And I think the first thing I'd say, it's an incredibly dynamic market right now, especially in the marketing of robotic automation. As we'll discuss, we're at that stage prior to the arrival of the major first case studies, which will help define this further. But certainly, you know, every place you look in the BPO industry and in the larger shared services industry, this topic has come up of late. And it really does come down, I think, to those five reasons that we discussed back in December at Blueprint. One is not the imminent, but the impending end of labor arbitrage. So as costs have come down, relatively in North America, vis-a-vis the Philippines, India, and other traditional BPO delivery locations, that delta that drove the whole labor arbitrage and many of the early generations of BPO is becoming less sustainable. The cost savings and the margins for the service providers aren't as available. So robotics is a really exciting and interesting way to shift the solution mix and maybe come to a new economics that in many cases, particularly for older BPO contracts that have run their course on traditional savings opportunities, that's a way to bring fresh value creation into the equation. I think the second thing that's driving it is the arrival of better solutions. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Automation has been around as long as IT has been around. The two are, in essence, synonymous. But past efforts at this sort of practical automation at the process level, so solving for challenges in delivery, have not always been easy. You know, it's been a lot of very customized, proprietary, frankly, ad hoc technology that's been in place on one hand, or very complex BPM or business process management suite solutions on the other hand that really require a massive degree of transformation. I think what's exciting about the solutions that are starting to appear now is that they are easier to implement, adapt, and frankly, they allow people, both clients and service providers, to operate within the existing processes. So not have to go through a massive degree of transformation to make things start to happen. The third driver is that it really addresses innovation needs. There isn't a BPO contract out there that doesn't usually have some expectation around ongoing innovation. Maybe as simple as just an annual productivity improvement, or it could be more complex involving projects, innovation boards, and so on. But what's been generally true up until now is that it's often hard to actually bring the level of innovation that matches a client's expectations to a service provider's capabilities. And robotic automation offers an opportunity to do that, not just once, but on an ongoing basis throughout a contract. I think the fourth thing is why this is important now is that there's whole new mindsets. You know, you look at all the literature in the broader business field and especially now in the world of process outsourcing and captives and business process management, and providers and clients have a new mindset about what humans can do, what technology should be doing. And a lot of this is driven by analytics and this notion that this is something that's really important, and actually automated solutions can help drive a better foundation or baseline in analytics than manual human processes and interventions are able to so far. Finally, the last big reason is ongoing value creation. You know, both BPO service providers and clients, but particularly the providers, are looking for ways to differentiate, not just on the basis of cost, but on the basis of ongoing value delivery. And I think robotics automation offers an opportunity for some of those service providers to get out ahead of their competition and show that they are able to provide sources of value on an ongoing basis.
Good. So you kind of covered it in the answer to that first question, but what's driving the move to automation?
Well, I think the biggest single drive is the fact that we now are an established industry with a lot of second, third, fourth iteration contracts that, you know, have tried various technology transformation, have tried process excellence, have gone offshore, have looked at individual process improvement, maybe moves to standardized processes. You know, an awful lot of things have been done for those older contracts. And yet, it's not that the available tools are able to necessarily drive much more out of those contracts. But the clients and the service providers themselves are anxious to continue to find ways to make those contracts more effective, more palatable. You know, you can't just run them at a steady state now after the second or third generation into the future. And so I think fundamentally robotic automation is attractive because it seems to offer an opportunity to reset those contracts to a new base level, both in terms of cost and efficiency and effectiveness. And that's really what's driving it more than any other single item. Although many of these other things we discussed, innovation, differentiation, certainly add to it as well.
Right. That's obviously a trend. But are there other trends that you see cropping up over the next year or maybe even the next 5 years?
Well, I think the one of the big trends in the next year is actually how this has an implication for the rest of BPO delivery. You know, we tend to talk about it as robotic automation and it somehow comes across as, you know, something standing on its own 2 feet. But actually, it has huge implications inside the service providers in the way that they organize contracts, in the type of solution architects they need, the implications for selling, the implications, frankly, for third-party advisors and the way they run their RFIs and RFPs and evaluate solutions and proposals. So I think one of the biggest trends we're going to see over the next year is how does this implicate the greater BPO captive, frankly, extended enterprise ecosystem in lots of subtle ways that perhaps, you know, only come to light as we get the first case studies, which I'm hoping start to appear, you know, anytime from the next month or two through to the summer, that kind of show how robotic automation goes from theory and optimism into practical delivery and realized value. So I'd say, you know, the trends are all going to come out of understanding those case studies and seeing what the deeper secondary implications are of involving robotic automation into the core BPO solutions. Over 5 years, it has a lot of, you know, the trends or the implications are broader than that even. I think if this is truly as effective, there'll be two sides. One is how does that play itself out in the types of staffing, delivery models, frankly, the real estate of the BPO providers, particularly offshore, as some of those tasks get moved into robotic solutions. You know, do we have carve-outs and suddenly huge amounts of real estate available around the world? The second is how does this impact the knowledge worker over time? Does this, in fact, make their job easier? You know, there's lots of contemplation, I guess, on robotics automation as to whether this takes away work from knowledge workers or it actually makes it easier for them to do their core function. And I think seeing how that plays itself out, whether you describe it as robotic automation or sort of cognitive computing, all these pieces as they come together in these trends will definitely impact what we consider to be the workload of the knowledge worker over the next 5 years.
Well, it'll be fascinating to watch. So pending these case studies that you discussed that we need to kind of take a look at, who's leading the way in robotic automation?
Well, I guess, you know, there's lots of people that are leading the way from a marketing side right now. You know, obviously the actual providers of the technologies, people like IPsoft, Blue Prism, Automation Anywhere, UiPath that are emerging in this space. But actually probably more, other than us analysts talking about it, are the service providers themselves. And I'd say, you know, there isn't one of, say, the top 20, particularly data-based BPO service providers that isn't discussing or mentioning robotic process automation in some form at them or others. I hesitate almost to say that anyone's got it way out ahead of anyone else at the moment, simply because those case studies are really the proof that this is in operation. But the likes of Sutherland Global Services, TCS, increasingly Infosys, HP, Capita, you know, each in their own way seem to be making pushes on this, maybe slightly ahead of the others, in the sense that they're doing things like creating heads of robotic automation or building it into their process service methodologies for its implications, slightly ahead of the others. But actually, you know, at this point, everyone's pretty close. It's just a matter of, are they just doing it with one or two third-party advisors? Are they developing a solution in-house? Are they talking about it as a marketing tool, or are they out talking to existing clients about the potential? And everyone's doing it in sort of their own way. I think for our listeners, what I'd suggest is that, you know, the best way to see where your provider is just to reach out and ask them about the applicability of these technologies to their own existing or potentially future BPO solutions.
That's great, Charles. I really want to thank you for joining us here on the HFS podcast, a fascinating topic. And I want to recommend everyone listening should log on to hfsresearch.com and register for the webinar, The Ultimate Robotic Automation Debate, coming up on April 7th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. There's a form on hfsresearch.com. Fill it out and you'll be signed up. Thanks again for joining me, Charles.
Thanks, Mark. It's been a real pleasure to do this. And I just put in one more plug as well for horsesforsources.com and our blog, where in addition to the materials we've talked about today, we have a fairly regular cadence of putting up materials to discuss robotic automation and its implications. And hopefully our readers and listeners today are obviously well aware of that, because that's where they probably come to for the podcast. But keep an eye out for even more of this in the coming days, weeks, and months ahead.
Absolutely. In addition to hfsresearch.com, the place you're at right now, horsesforsources.com, is a great source for this. So thanks again, Charles, and thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks.